Okay, it's, well, it's again going back a little bit, but it just occurred to me, so I'll ask it anyway. When I was at the Sun Library the other day, doing all my research, I read about a case that I think occurred in 1966, the Beanie Brothers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there was a sweep of the black community.
Right. Okay.
Could you tell me something about what went into that? Now, you would have just become involved with community relations.
Right. I was with proposed community relations. What happened,
right.
It was just what you said, it was a sweep. Some black homes were broken into by police officers. Some black people were manhandled and pushed around by officers. You see what happens when a police officer gets killed, you know, or when anyone gets killed. It's just like you don't have to be a policeman. If you are associated with someone, each man reacts that it could have been him or her who had just been killed.
Yeah.
Yes, there were some problems there. There were some things that police did, you know. And then, you know, they had no reason to go to white areas because Beanie Brothers were black. So their main involvement was in black areas, and they did overreact at times.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that, and I think Commissioner Palmer would also agree with that, that the Baltimore City Police Department overreacted that. But they were trying to find a man who had killed a policeman, and they were not leaving any stones unturned.
Which areas were involved?
East Baltimore area.
Mm-hmm. And
most of the people with names of Vini and anyone who was close associates of the Vini brothers, their homes were, you know, broken into at times. But most of the times they had warrants when they went to the homes, you know, looking for these guys. But there were problems during that time, yes. And they were, they were justified in some of the things that they said.
What, did you play any role in?
Yes, I did. Yeah, mine was out in the community to try to tell the people that if you know where these men are, they're just taking the life of a police officer who's out here to protect you, give us that information that you have, and you won't be, you know, held to this. You know, we won't let you, we won't let anyone know that we got this information from you.
There was, unfortunately, there was no follow-up that I could find on, were they found?
Oh yes, oh yeah, all of them, yeah.
And
we found them all.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one or two in jail still during time.
Mm-hmm.
There was what, two or three of them, there was three of them, two or maybe two of them. Yeah.
I can't remember, I thought there were two, but I could be wrong.
No, two I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How did you react at the time? You went out into the community?
Yes, because I was a member of the Baltimore City Police Department.
Yeah.
It could have been me. So
yes.
I was just as uptight as anyone else. You
mm-hmm.
see what happens, police are a peculiar breed. They have their own closed society. Everybody looks at you in one way or another. If you come to a black area and you see a lot of police cars on the scene, the blacks might say you overreacted. The whites would say they don't see enough of police cars in the area. You see, so I'm saying either way that you want to look at it. You know, I've had people call me and say, every time I look around, the helicopter's flying over my house. I said, man, you get protection. I don't want that. Every time I look around, there's a police in my block. Whites would call and say, Major Hodge Crimes, we don't see enough police protection here. Well, why don't we have more, you know, police protection? So I'm saying,
yeah.
These are the things. You know. So when you're damn if you're doing, damn if you don't. You see. And the people have, let's face it, I always have said that, you know, people always say, I don't want to see any police, but who they call when they have problems, you know. The pigs, get the pigs off the street, sure, but the pigs are the ones that you want to come and save your life when you have a problem.
Sure.
And they have a job to do just like everyone else. You know? And they are home men, they are fathers, and they are mothers, and they are part of the community. They go to mass, they go to the synagogue, they go to church on Sunday. They go to market like you and anyone else will do. But then they have a job to do. That's their role. You know, they are police officers. The laws are put on the books by you people. And they are just there to enforce them. Police don't make any laws. The people make the laws. You I'm not defending them, I'm just saying that they have a job to do. And it's a shame when you have the farm where the police got to come out and demonstrate and picket for a raise of salary, like look what's happening in Baltimore right now. You know, the farm, talking about they might hit the streets. And I feel that if anyone needs more money, it's these kind of guys.
Mm-hmm.
Because put lies on them every day. You know. Maybe say the school teachers are putting their lies on them too, man. When you look at pictures like a Black Boy Jungle and those kind of things. Some, you know, when you walk out the door, your life might be on the line. But I'm saying these guys are facing it every day. When they go to work, they don't know if they're coming home or not.
Yeah.
And we are the most underpaid law enforcement agency in the country, one of the lowest, and the fire department too. And yet, about a year ago, 2 years ago, we were supposed to have the best fire department in the country. We were, oh, it was all over the papers. Baltimore City Fire Department. But when you look at the salary, we're way down the scale.
Is there still, this is, I guess, in a sense, a rhetorical question, but what about discrimination within the police department? You said it was a closed society, and you must have had...
Right, okay, when the police, right, when I came into the department, yes, there were some white police officers that refused to ride in cars with blacks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. But when you have a partner with you on the street, your life is in jeopardy. They don't care if he's red, white, or blue, or green. You want him to protect your back. Yes. Hello? Hello? Yeah, huh? Yeah, she's supposed to be coming in. Yeah, okay. Yeah. What's Eric Johnson want? Yeah. Let's Steve Moore talk to Edward Johnson, and Henry Smalls, he can come in. I'm not gonna hold him. He has something he wants to give me, so he can just come in. Okay, just Henry Smalls said I'm having an interview, but he can come in, and let Steve talk to the other guy. All right. Yeah. So now, what were you saying?
We were talking about the police department, and you mentioned at first when you came into the department that some of the white officers wouldn't ride.
Oh, yes, that's right, sure. Right. They did not want to ride in a car with black officers. And yeah, those kind of things. And some of them didn't want to be on the same shift with blacks, you know, that kind of thing. But to answer your questions, I mentioned before that, you know, it's much integrated now. You find blacks riding in cars together. You find whites riding in cars together, and you find black and whites riding in cars together.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, you must realize that, you know, just like I get all kinds of questions from black people saying, we don't see enough black policemen. When you are 15% of something that's 100%, it means that black officers have to have a time off like white officers. They have to go to in-service or training like white officers. They get sick. Like white officers, you see. So I'm saying is that when you have 15%, it might be maybe 5% of them are off at one time.
Yeah.
And when you have a city as large as Baltimore with almost 1 million people, you can't have them in a place. But you try to put them where they're most effective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now, you know, saying you don't send a black police in some white areas. No, because they're not needed in those areas. They're needed in the black areas where you have some of your social problems. And a black guy is black 24 hours a day. He wakes up in the morning black, he goes to sleep in the night, he's black. So he can relate to some of the people. You know, just like some of the questions that some white will ask me, you know, I might not have the answers because I'm not white. You know, and some blacks are just saying, how come blacks don't just, you know, this guy's why I'm black myself, I can relate to you. What I'm saying is that a black police is more than just a policeman, or just white either. He's a social worker and a father and mother and everything else. Because you have to be, you know, involved.
How were assignments made during the disturbance?
Well, okay, during
and
the disturbance, right.
It wasn't 15%.
During the disturbances, they tried to put as many black police that they could in black areas, because the white officers, you know, they'd be putting their lives in on the line.
Were there some white policemen who refused?
No, when you say, if you, you know,
refuse
right.
to go into an area and say, no, into, I don't.
Oh, yes, but not only, well, see, now there was an area down on Gay Street where black as well as white boys refused to go because the Panthers had a headquarters there. And word was out that they were going to kill any pig that would come in that area. And then, and orders were given by a police commissioner that they would not be, no police cars would patrol that area.
When was that? Was that in 68?
Oh, that was in 68, oh yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And this was on Gay Street. This was the Panthers headquarters at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And no police would patrol that area. And then if there was an emergency call, someone called and said they were having a problem because they did this once or twice, then no single car would go. A shotgun squad and you know and
mm-hmm.
that kind of heavy tactical force would go into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And did that indeed happen?
Yes,
I mean, they did.
They were instances where these people were taking pot shots at people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, a couple police cars drove through the air and they were shot up, and nobody was hurt. And that's when the order came out not to send anybody back.
Mm-hmm.
And the commission was not lying about it too, you know. Going there at all.
Hmm. We've talked mostly about Baltimore City. Were you at all involved, sort of on the periphery? You were involved with
the
National
Guard. State. Yeah, with the National
Guard. What about the rest of the
well,
state?
Well, I guess I was.
Say in this
I
time,
guess the
next
this
really
I got to do now. I was wearing two hats. And you know, I guess my National Guard hat and my been Baltimore City a policeman.
Mm-hmm.
I still have a National Guard hat and being a member on Governor Mandel's staff. So you know, in Montgomery County, not Montgomery, Prince George County, there was we didn't become involved there. You know, it was a local thing which they were able to take. The National Guard didn't have to go there. You know, Baltimore County. In fact, the National Guard didn't go anyplace else besides the Eastern Shore and here.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's Eastern Shore, you're talking about Cambridge and Salisbury, but they patrolled the whole area. In Eastern Maryland, you know. But Eastern
mm-hmm.
Shore is where the Guard was at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But not in Baltimore City, not in Montgomery County, Prince George, nor where else was the Guard caught up. Wait a minute.
Sure. Okay. You've sort of hinted around how you feel things are going today. And obviously these organizations have changed leaders and changed goals in a sense, or at least changed what they perceive as immediate and necessary goals. Who do you think, or what group do you think is really working now? Or is there one?
Well,
let's
start from the national level.
Okay.
Roy Wilkins with NAACP, I think he has served his usefulness. I think he has been a great leader of his people. But he's getting old, and I understand he's going out sometime this year.
Yeah.
And I'm sure some young person will be coming to take his place. You see, I believe, and I believe everything that's happened during my lifetime had to happen for a reason. You had to have your doctor, Little Jackson's. I said there was a place for your Stokely Carmichael's and your Rap Browns, because they made the world aware of what was being done to the black man and woman. I'm not saying that they had to bury or destroy. My philosophy is to build on the foundation that you have and then just move ahead. That's the thing I'm thinking about, and I believe that you're getting younger people, because after all, this country is going to be taken care of by these young people, and it's going to be theirs. Each time you look, the administration, the establishment is getting younger. Look at the Democratic Party. It shows you what's happening. It's starting from the top.
Excuse me, sir.
Hello, brother. changing. Okay, you know,
yeah.
Younger people are taking over. And I think they have a different feeling and a different outlook about what's going on. I think they have the heads on straight. I don't feel that they feel that you have to destroy or, you know, do away with things. You know, you can join the establishment and become part of the establishment because you look at young people becoming more involved with federal government, state government, almost city government. You find more young people on committees and commissions, right here in Maryland, well, in Baltimore City, the school board, they have two young high school students on the board. So in other words, the older people are asking for the thinking of the young people. But you just can't write the older people out because there are certain things that have happened during the period of time which has caused us to be where we are today. So I'm saying that don't just go out and kill all the old people because they have some input to make. But I think you should listen to something that they have to say. But no, this is a young man, a young woman's world, and I have no qualms about releasing my seat to a young person. And I feel we all must realize when our youthfulness is over, because you can go but so far, and then you find yourself going downhill. You know, just like a fighter who wins a championship, then retires and comes out of retirement and starts losing everything. So my philosophy is that to give the young man and woman a chance to relate, to see what he or she has to say. And they have to listen to us, and we listen to them. But about the civil rights movement, as I said, the civil rights movement, something had to happen. And it did happen, and I think it happened for the best.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, sure, there were problems. With anything that you're going to, there are going to be some good moments and some bad moments. And the people that were primary surrounding in the civil rights movement, none of them have never been able to get anything. But they made a response. They made it possible for people like me to be sitting here. You know, if this was not brought to the attention of the establishment or the power structure, you know, what do we know black men sitting there for? But they made a point that you need a black. You know, I'm not saying that blacks can relate to all blacks because I can't, and I can't say white can relate to all whites. But I feel that a black man has to be sensitive, or a black woman sensitive about the thinking, because he or she wakes up black every day and they go to sleep black at night. So I have to know something about what black think. You know, it's just like what whites used to say. Yes, I know how black people think because, you know, I was raised by a black woman, or we had a black woman in our house used to be our maid. You know, that's a different kind of thing. You know, it's like I can't relate to them. I can say, oh yes, I know white people too because I have a white secretary. You know, but I'm just saying that these are things that have a change in time. And I think you need a little input of both. And I don't think that nothing can exist today without a total impact, young, old, Jewish, Catholic, black, white, whatever you can do. And that's the only thing that has been the thing that's made this country succeed, just on the involvement of all people. And when you look at the platform of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, they are bringing more women in. They're bringing more minorities in. And this is how it has to happen. No one can win today without a total involvement with everybody.
What can you do? That's great.